Ave Maria.
What was it, Parks and Rec, when she was doing the national anthem? Of the brave.
See, you can leave that in. We don't have to pay for that.
Oh, man.
Hey, yeah, that's not copyright.
You don't have to pay for
it. Why don't you use that as a bump between each of them?
Hello, 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 and welcome to Long Story Short, your newscast from Lee Enterprises, Central Illinois, where your story lives. I am DJack Alkire.
I am Kelsey Wassenaar.
I'm Tim Kane. Do you guys remember me?
You know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah. Yeah. This is only the second time I've been up here in January.
In this year, yeah.
And it's the last day of January.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome back, Tim. It's always good to have you.
And it's always good to be here, Jack.
The weather has been more cooperative to allow you to come.
Yeah, and,
we've had
you know the typical winter illnesses going through.
Yeah, so. We don't want to share those unnecessarily. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the sun though since last year.
It was out like a couple days ago. It was not very long.
You know, the sun is always out in my world, Jack.
I miss the sun. The sun's my favorite.
There's a reason we used to worship it.
Yeah, they were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the giver of life.
It was only a coin flip that gave us what we have. So that's
yeah.
And with that, let's get into this week's news. In state news this week, the State Board of Elections ruled former President Donald Trump will remain on the Illinois primary ballot. The issue came before the board after an objection was filed by 5 Illinois voters and backed by a national group that's seeking to remove Trump's name from the ballot in several states on the grounds that he is ineligible to hold office under the 14th Amendment. That's the one that prohibits those who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion from holding public office. The unanimous ruling by the bipartisan panel was in line with the recommendation of hearing officer Clark Erickson, who found by a preponderance of the evidence that President Trump engaged in insurrection, but the State Board of Elections was not the proper venue for constitutional analysis. So essentially the board said the decision about whether or not Trump is on the ballot is for the courts to decide, not them.
And the courts will decide. I mean,
yes.
And that's I would guess at some point we get all of these shoved into one and thrown
right.
into emergency in front of the Supreme Court that'll vote 6-3 in Trump's favor.
That is the way the numbers would probably shake out.
I think
that's the numbers on the Supreme Court right now.
There's no unfortunately the solution is not as easy as it ought to be.
Yeah.
So. No, and you're definitely right there that the solution is not as easy as it ought to be, but I think part of the logic behind, I'm not sure if it's our state's Board of Elections, but from some of the committees around the country, he's not been found guilty of it.
Right.
He's not even been tried for it yet.
Right.
You know, so by trying to stick to, and this is a messy situation where, pardon me, by trying to stick to the letter of the law, you have to wait for it to be adjudicated in courts. But at the same time, is that going to happen prior to the election?
Yeah.
One thing I found interesting about Brendan's story was he quoted several, a few of the board members who, like I said, this is a bipartisan panel. Several of the Republican board members acknowledged there was an insurrection on January 6th. And I'm reading from board member Catherine McCrory. There is no doubt in my mind that he manipulated, instigated, aided, and abetted an insurrection. So they can say all of that, but it comes down to it's not their decision.
Yeah.
And the objectors do have the 5 Illinois voters who objected to this and made them address it. They have 5 days from Tuesday, so that would be
Saturday?
Yeah.
Or would it be our business days?
Not totally sure. But they have 5 days from their ruling to file a notice of their intent to seek judicial review of the case. So it might not go away, but it's probably going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this one for a long time.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's any short or underestimation to say that a lot of the decisions that are going to be made in the courts this year concerning former President Trump and his alleged nefarious acts, his alleged criminal deeds, is going to shape and change and have a significant effect on how we operate as a country from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can find Brendan Moore's story with contributors from our State House intern, Kelly Foy, across all of our Illinois sites, Pantograph.com, Herald-Review.com, JG-TC.com, and QCTimes.com. A man named Joe has taken ownership of an exotic African cat, a serval named Reese. Now, before you get confused, this man is Joe Taft, not Joe Exotic. That man is in prison. Joe Taft runs...
Still running for president, we found out.
Still running for president. Yeah, he is. From custody.
I remember 2016, I hope I could talk about that. And, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and refusing treatment for cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, in jail.
Also, fun fact, most tigers are Asian, not African. But your bit was good.
Well, the serval is an African cat.
Yes, it is. But trying to play into the exotic cat.
That wasn't just me.
Oh, Tony did the same
thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, so... Joe Taft runs the Exotic Feline Rescue Center in Center Point, Indiana. He has nothing to do with a man convicted of murder for hire. Now, if you're not sure what we're talking about there, it's called The Tiger King on Netflix, and there is a series. It is a series in Over My Dead Body, a podcast from Wondery. Anyway, the serval, again, named Reese, which I think is important, escaped from a Decatur residence in November.
Why exactly is it important that we name the...
Because it makes us care about this.
Okay.
Does the serval have cups?
I don't know. I haven't met him.
Peanut butter cups.
Yeah, peanut butter
Reese's.
Cups. Yeah, he probably loves peanut butter. Anyway.
probably not.
The person living there had been keeping Reese as a pet, but servals are not allowed as pets in the city of Decatur.
And this is like a mile from my house.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow. The apartment complex is the first place I lived in Decatur.
Well, anyway, it was in an apartment? Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish.
No, so the owner of the person who had possession of Reese, he was issued a citation and could not be reached for comment from the Herald and Review. But Sergeant Rod Atkins of the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center said that Taft's Rescue was selected because it has a reputation for doing animal care the right way, which I think is very important because if you have a big cat, right, an exotic animal that you're not necessarily prepared on how to handle them, mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the training, the significance, or the experience to do that, you have to get it to the right care. And I think that's very important.
The thing that amused me the most was the idea that this cat was on the loose and was in danger because of the cold. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I mean, and you know, there are mountains in Africa that the lions and the cats will go to. I mean, so they're, you know, they're equipped for many, many, many climates.
Yeah,
and this one did all right. Yeah. I thought there was a quote from somebody which said, "Yeah, the coyotes weren't going to give this one any trouble."
No.
I wish I had a chance to see that.
Yeah,
just it's a beautiful. I mean, just
that's what I was. I would very much like to see the cat in person.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah, because the pictures are just unbelievably. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just it's the way. So many tigers are that they're lean, all muscle, and you watch them move, and it's just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen this video of like Bengal tigers.
Mm.
There's like a group of Bengal tigers, and then they're introducing a Siberian tiger. And it is twice the size of the Bengal tigers.
They're
and
I'm like, so big. That's
I'm like
crazy.
Yeah.
If you want to see all the cats and animals that are at the Exotic Feline Rescue Center, they have all of them by name on their website. There's Eileen, there's Alex, there's Anna, there's Archie, there's Athena, there's Atlas, there's Aurora, there's Azriel, there's Azul, that's just the ace. There's so many.
It's important to know the cat's name, Tim.
There's a Charlie. Oh, there's a white tiger named Charlie. I'm going to put this down. Sorry.
You know,
I love tigers.
It's more difficult to eat them if they have names. I know one person at this table wouldn't.
Yeah, no.
I would not eat a named animal.
Okay.
Or any of the other ones, too. Tony Reed has all the details on Reese's Happily Ever After in Indiana at Herald-Review, JG-TC, and Pantograph.com.
School officials and the Decatur Police Department are looking to punish students and parents involved in fights at two Decatur schools last week. Now, while there are scant details about the conflicts, such as how many people were involved and how many arrests have already been made, Decatur Police Chief Shane Brandell said the students' behavior was, quote, disheartening. But the parents, he described their involvement as, quote, outrageous. Brandel said the investigation is ongoing, but he suspects that social media played an agitating factor in the cause of the fights.
There is a video that I have seen floating around.
Really?
I mean, it's 10 seconds of a scrum. You know, it's like if you had 10 people just kind of not beating on each other, but just kind of in a group and, you know, bumping back and forth. The video is placed right in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's off. There have been problems like this in Decatur schools off and on for the last few years. Every time it seems as though they might have things under control, then you have another issue break out.
Why do you think that is?
I think that what you've got is a lot of kids who don't want to be there because they don't understand the point. And you've got you've got COVID kids who
are not socialized.
Yeah, lost that amount of time of, you know, I can't imagine what my life would have been like if I had missed third grade. If I just had to do it all remotely. I can't imagine, you know, what my interactions would have been like later on. And life is far more violent now than it was when I was 7 years old, you know.
That's a curious conversation that we could have about the level of violence that we see. But I'm curious, you know, we've talked and I've heard, you know, people say that the schools in Decatur, is there something unique about that city that the school system there has a tense relationship with the population?
Yeah, and a tense relationship with, yeah, and it goes both ways. Yeah, the population is not happy. The administrators feel put upon, and many think they're not doing their jobs. It's taken a long time to get it to this point, so it's not like there's a magic bullet out there that can make it go away. You know, it's an extension of violence on the streets. I mean, if gunfire in your neighborhood is not horrifying, if it's just part of the life, then, you know, I have no idea what that does to a kid when they walk into a room of their peers. Mm. You know, I am wholly removed from this. I don't have any kids.
But you're still a member of the community there, and I think that it's important when we talk about public education and education writ large that we have, this is my personal opinion, that investing in education is good for the society that mm-hmm. we live in. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, and I don't have kids either. You know, yeah. I've got nephews and nieces who are in school, but
I don't know how many people get into the situation of wanting to help, wanting to be a teacher, wanting to be an administrator, wanting to be a board member, wanting to be a TA, and then get into the situation and realize what the realities mm-hmm. of that situation are, and they're not what you thought they'd be, and you're not doing what you thought you would do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the gun violence indicator, and knowing that these kids are experiencing such trauma outside of the school, these growing brains cannot help but bring that their lived experience into the school, yeah. And it's endlessly difficult for teachers and staff to deal with that. And it's endlessly difficult for the students to, know how to emotionally handle that level of trauma every mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, I mean, and let's face it, as opposed to what a lot of people my age might think, you can't just slap the kids on the back of your hand and say, mm-hmm. deal with it.
Right.
No, straight out. Suck it up. You know, there's a lot. I think maybe the best hope is that the people who are coming through the system now, that you get some kids who will go through and realize, okay, I think maybe if we tried this would work, and you know, maybe the future, or the hope of the future, is a kid.
Yeah, oh, no, it definitely is. But I mean, I think that you had mentioned earlier that kids don't want to be there, you know, because they don't get the point. Well, I mean, like, so we have to ask ourselves, what is the point of education? What is the point of public education requiring students, children, to have a kindergarten through 12th grade education? You know, it's essentially a job. It's eight hours a day, 5 days a week, you know. So I think we really have to sit back and ask ourselves why children are there and what we can do to better children's lives and teachers' experience and administrators' experience. Because I've done a lot of research into education, public education, K-12 education, and there's been a lot of research into, you know, like you said, suck it up, buttercup, you know, right. Corporal punishment, do as I say, and the risk reward, the carrot and stick.
Yep.
And it's not how to raise kids. And that's essentially what's happening in K-12 education is you're helping to raise these children.
And you know, let's face it, some of these children aren't being raised. It's a single parent household with someone who's working two or three jobs, and the kid might never see the parent. But it's a food insecurity issue. It's a health insecurity issue. I mean, there are so many things that you could throw money at, but
is throwing money at it gonna fix it?
That's exactly right. That's the we've got to figure out plans, and so far we're not so good at that.
Yeah. So, and we could speak for literal days, months, years about the education system, but I don't think I want to spend all of our time on there, especially since I haven't been down to Decatur to see the public schools and interact with the teachers there. Mm-hmm. But you can follow this developing story about the fights at Stephen Decatur Middle School from all of our lovely staff over at herald-review.com. I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
That's right. I will say that a regular columnist in both our sports section and our editorial page is a man named Kevin Hale, who may be the most optimistic person I know. One of those people who really wants to emphasize the good and wants to encourage people. So, you know, he is an example of one of the things in the community that's going right. And like I say, his columns are regularly on the editorial page, usually on Saturdays.
So, you know, I love to talk about donating blood. You guys are probably sick of hearing about it, but there's a good reason for it.
I'm sorry, Kelsey, you like doing a thing that helps people and is good for people, and you think that I'm sick of hearing about that?
When did we learn this?
I feel like I mention it all the time.
She does, yeah.
Okay.
I donate blood regularly as often as I can. I monitor my iron levels and take supplements because I naturally run low, and I'm partly because of just me and partly because of vegetarian, so I'm like getting less. So I really believe in donating blood, and like I said, there's good reason for it. This month, the American Red Cross issued an emergency blood shortage, signaling that blood is leaving the shelves faster than it is being replenished. Hospitals and healthcare facilities maintain daily communication with their blood suppliers, and during times of shortage, that can be even more important as they treat trauma patients, cancer patients, new mothers, people with sickle cell disease, and other illnesses that often require blood transfusions. Locally, Red Cross Blood and Impact Life host the most blood drives. I will say Red Cross has more here, but Impact Life has like regular ones, like quarterly, I think. And they both encourage donors of all blood types to take the time to roll up their sleeves and give blood. And so do I.
I assume that the Red Cross in town also takes walk-ins or...
Yes. Both organizations, you can book donations, but I would guess a very high percentage of the time, they're not full. They will take walk-ins. And we have blood donation centers that are open every day, mm-hmm. and people can just walk in.
I encourage everybody to do it. The thing I like about it, and this is the reason I do a lot of things in my life, I have a great feeling of a moral superiority after they've taken a pint of blood out of my arm.
Yeah, I you know, I'll
and the crappy snacks are great too.
I love the crappy snacks.
Yeah, the Little Debbie and the Madison stuff.
They never give
the,
me
the stuff that's individually wrapped and
I feel like I always get pretzels. These little weird biscuits, like cookie biscuits.
Oh, Lorna Doones.
Like Fig Newtons?
Is that what they are? Not like Fig Newtons, not like stuffed. They're like
kind of
scone-shaped.
Yeah, they're about
two or three
inches.
Very crumbly.
Yeah, I think Lorna knew what we were looking at.
I think I get Cheetos as well, and I always
you love Cheetos.
Cheetos?
I
give you Cheetos, boy.
My usual snack is a pretzel.
Because you don't want to walk out and give them blood with orange dust all over your fingers.
But they do encourage you to wait 15 minutes. That's where we're talking about snacks. They always offer snacks, and I always down 16.9 ounces of water before walking out the door.
Yeah, because they want to monitor you in case, you know, you start to feel
they have just straight up let me leave, though.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, I'm a large American, so.
We used to have them. We used to have drives in the Herald and Review, and I'm sure that they probably did here as well.
We used to sponsor the one that happens in December at the arena.
Okay.
I don't think we sponsored anymore, but that still happens. Drive still happens every year.
But it was, it's bizarre to remember that there was a time when there were like a half a dozen beds that were put up in our lunchroom. And the reason that they would come is because, you know, they'd get 20 gallons of blood out of all the people there.
Yeah, as part of Jack and Olivia's reporting on this, they found that part of the reason they're getting fewer donations is fewer people are working in offices. And
right.
A lot of the times they relied on bringing donations to workplaces.
Yep.
So let's, first of all, Tim, I want to go back to what you said. You had a moral superiority when you do something like this, right? One of the young people that we interviewed, his name is Sam Fortuna. And he's, from Joliet. He goes to ISU here. He's studying music education. And he has a unique blood type. I didn't ask him what it was. I was like, that's your information. I don't need it.
I bet on AB.
Or is AB negative? More so,
I don't know about positive.
Yeah, I'm not sure,
but I would get.
But
bet on AB.
He donated for the first time, just to be like, oh, I wonder what kind of blood type I have. But then the second or third time, he said he received an email from the organization saying your blood was used in this California city to help this person, and he was like, how cool is that?
Yeah,
and so he said it feels good to say that you donate blood, so it feels good to do good. So. Same idea as your moral superiority, but I think a little more.
Yeah, I'm a little more crass, but that's okay. That's okay.
But I want to talk about the shortage and the deficit that they have right now. Since January 9, when we reported this earlier, was it?
Sunday.
It was on Sunday. So since January 9 to that day, there were over 1,000 cancellations due to weather and other instances,
mm-hmm.
including hundreds on single days. And it's almost intangible how much that affects a blood supply. And Kirby Wynn from Impact Life, who is headquartered in Quad Cities, along with Lee Enterprises, he's like two blocks away. He was like, it's hard to quantify this because each different type of blood product, of which there are multiple, has a different shelf life. It has a different storage. And you get a different amount from each, quote, unit of whole blood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can get red blood cells, you can get platelets, you can get plasma, then there's double red, and then, you know, there are things that they use the white blood cells for as well, less common, though. But it's varying amounts, and you have to store it in a certain way, like red blood and whole blood has a 42-day shelf life, which is not very long.
No.
So they talk about having a 5-day supply, whatever number that means for the people that they're serving, the hospitals mm-hmm. that they're serving. So they try to maintain a 5-day supply within the hospital and a 5-day supply at the distribution center of each type of blood
mm-hmm.
And blood product. So there's never really a chance for blood donation centers to get comfortable, like, hey, we don't have to do as much this
right,
week.
Right.
We don't have to do as much this month. We're above quota.
Exactly.
And because the nature of this life-saving medicine, these blood products, are so crucial to the economy of the hospital. And when I say economy, I don't mean money. I mean patient comes in, patient needs services, patient receives medicine, patient gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So essential to that process that having to live on 1-day supply, 2-day supply.
It's horrifying.
Because the last thing you want to do is have providers have to make a decision who really needs this product.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad episode of MASH.
That's exactly what it is. It's tragic. But There are a lot of organizations and communities and organizations and individuals around Central Illinois and beyond who are doing things to help facilitate this, like trying to get younger generations in, trying to get out there to high schools and colleges to replace some of that corporate blood donation that they used to rely on. You know,
well, and also veterans of wars who understand the importance of it because it kept them alive.
Yes,
you know, and the more of those, you know, 20-gallon donors that pass, you know, somebody's got to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the important thing is, right, that we have to remember that if you take care of your body, right, and you eat right, you get enough rest, you hydrate, your body will replenish whatever you donate, right? Which is what Kelsey was talking about earlier, getting snacks, drinking water, you know, making sure that you're healthy, you have your iron supplements, right? And there are some moves for people who are squeamish about the needle and fear donating blood, like Impact Life in Central Illinois. So that's Peoria and Decatur and Champaign. There's one group, one guy there who he has a VR headset. So like you'll actually like put on this headset and it doesn't obscure the phlebotomist's view of your eyes so they can see like if you're, you know. But what it does is it distracts the user by like they could just like look around the room and like every place that they look or they like blink or something, you know, and they're like they build a garden, like a virtual garden, which is super neat.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to try it just to be like I tried this.
I was so surprised when you were telling me about this just because I don't know how long it takes some people to donate blood, but like I'm not there long enough to build a garden.
That's me too. No, yeah.
Like last time I donated, they're like, it was like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick.
No, they said, you know, 7 to 8 minutes.
It doesn't take very long to do a whole blood donation. It does take longer to do platelets. Mm-hmm. And it is important that you can donate platelets more often, and they're very important for people cancer patients and several other varieties of people.
And one of the things is because platelets, you get so few amount of platelets from each individual, you know, donation of whole blood. A lot of times those platelets are that patients receive are from multiple donors, just because that is so small a portion of what's in a unit of blood. But the headset is another way that they're trying to get the younger generation. And this is something that Kirby and Michelle Chernel from Impact Life were talking about, is getting the younger generation involved in caring about this. Because we all, like we said, the kids of the future, right? The generation who was used to doing this, you know, they're aging out.
My first blood donation was in high school. My first two were in high school.
I think my first one was in college.
Yeah, they, if you were like 16, you could donate with parental consent, which I thought was very, I think
so
I did.
What's your gallon count by now? You got to be at 5 or 6, huh?
No, I only started donating regularly a couple years ago. I actually was inspired by when I mentioned the drive that they still have every year at the arena. I went my first year here at the Pantograph, and I was hearing this man talk about how many gallons he's donated, and I was like, I want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And so I've donated as consistently as I can since then. I think I'm at a couple. I'm not at 3 yet, but I'm at a couple gallons.
See that moral superiority just exuding.
I do see that. Yeah. No. I feel small next to you.
Well, Olivia Jacobs and our very own Jack here have that story at pantograph.com, and Tim Kane here has written several editorials on the issue as well. You can find those across all of our Central Illinois sites.
So yeah, Tim, there's a lot going on in Illinois for now, the next coming months, 2024.
I'm getting ready to write a thing talking
about.
You're
going to finish your book.
Well, actually, it's done. It's just, it's not formatted yet. It needs to be formatted, but I expect a March release. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, sign me up. I want a signed copy.
Okay. Got to buy it, of course. You know, I can't just be signing stuff and throwing it around. Got to get some.
Are you going to charge me for an autograph?
Depends on how things go between now and then.
Well, anyway, so beyond that, today the day that this is coming out is Groundhog Day. There's been a lot of talk about Punxsutawney Phil and maybe trying to shift what we think about with Groundhog Day. That's also one of my brother's birthdays. I'm not going to tell you whose, but our clan.
Well, I thought maybe he had a brother who had seven birthdays.
I have multiple brothers.
okay.
No, but like our clan, we have a lot of late winter, early spring birthdays. There's Feb 2, Feb 23, March 1, March 11, March 13, March 29, April 25, and then May 27. So.
My family doesn't have any birth. I am the only birthday in my family from January to November.
So you got like all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And like my immediate family, my parents, my brother and sister. Yeah.
But, you know, outside of that, Thursday this week, labor relations leader Mike Matika was invited to the White House to talk about the Biden-Harris administration's investment in the Infrastructure and Jobs Act and how that's affecting us locally. And some of the numbers that he was pulling out was just astounding. Like, in the 3 years since the act has been signed, the number of employees at Rivian has increased 450% from 2,000 to 9,000. We're seeing more people enroll in apprenticeship programs in the unions. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, tens of millions of dollars from the federal government allocated for Central Illinois to rebuild a lot of these roads. So there's going to be a lot of infrastructure and economic improvements. So he's getting honored for that. He's going to talk to the administration. The Illinois State Fair is bringing in Grammy winners Jason Isbell in the 400 unit and Ashley McBride, which Clay and I are super excited for, actually.
This will be like the 93rd time Clay has seen Jason Isbell.
Right?
Oh, probably. This would be my first time, but...
I'm excited to see who else they announce. And, like, I know it's a slow rollout to get all the the headliners announced, and I'm excited.
That'll be fun. I haven't been to the State Fair in a while.
And once.
I remember going as a child, but, like, we've talked about this before. Like, I didn't like being all, like, dirty and, you know.
It's just, very dusty.
Yes, it's extremely dusty.
Yeah, particularly there, and particularly if it's dry, in particular, if you pay the extra money to get down on the on the track and actually.
Yeah, I was on the track, and it wasn't actually dusty. It was very packed in. I think it had rained at some point, but it wasn't muddy. It was just, like, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Solidly soaked. Yeah. In like a, it wasn't squishy.
I saw the Foo Fighters back in 2015 at RFK Stadium before it was tore down, and there was a rain delay, so the people on the pitch were just sliding.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I was extremely jealous. That was right after Dave Grohl broke his leg and had to get it surgery twice.
I've listened to what's the 100 years? That's just what it's called. I listened to the song like 5 times in the last 3 days.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. It's just my Spotify's like, you like this. And I'm like, you're right, Spotify, yeah. I do.
Thanks, algorithm. but something else is coming back to Decatur.
We got a ton of stuff going on.
Foo Fighting, not Foo Fighters. Ignore me.
It was what?
Sorry, go on, Tim.
I was like, I haven't heard that
the
one.
Other fighter, the other Fighters band. I'm sorry, Tim, what were you going to say?
Which is the other Fighters band?
Five for Fighting. They're like soft alt-rock band.
Yeah,
did,
I'm
like,
sorry.
Superman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not man.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those always confused me because anytime you've got a person who names himself as a group, I get confused. Owl City was the same way.
It's like,
Panic of the Disco is now just one dude.
No.
It's been Brandon Urie by himself for like a decade, man.
Wow. Yeah.
That's weird.
Sometimes with those bands, that's all you need.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just the one
I
guy.
Mean, he's made work.
Powerboat races are coming back to Lake Decatur. They were a thing for a long time. I mean, they've been a thing for as long as I've been there, and I've been there 35 years. They stopped about 20 years ago, mainly because they were held on Memorial Day weekend. The weather was unpredictable, and it got more and more expensive to get these boats to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many expenses that you have to have, that you have to cover even before anything starts. You have to have a hook that they charge that will put the boats in the water. You know, it picks them up and puts them
like
in the water.
An actual crane.
Yes.
They're doing motions as if they are a crane.
Yeah. if only this was a video cast.
Right.
That would be so great.
There isn't like a marina where they just all, like how big are these boats?
I guess I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that I've watched them. That's what they do. And they often don't run because if there's too much wind, if there's white caps on the water, then they don't want to take the chance of these things flipping and exploding in midair and stuff like that. But it's something that a number of people in the community have been really excited about for a really long time, and people have tried to bring it back, and they just butt up against the realities of the financials. Well, yeah. Now the Park District is involved, and there's they're allowing themselves to invest in some of it, and they've made some changes so that there's not quite as much expense for the localities. So there'll be two different races. There'll be one in June and one in September.
I think that's what you sent me. But no, that's exciting. I mean,
yeah, and it's, you know, there are people who love it. You know, there are people for whom, like me, you know, you see it once and it's okay. That's all I need to see. That's cool. There's a guy going really fast on the lake.
But
gotta go fast.
Have to go fast. I mean, you know, motorcycles.
That was a Sonic reference. Go on.
Never saw it. What I would like to do, and you've heard me talk about this before, I would like to get a sailboat on there and race sailboats.
Okay.
That sounds so much more difficult.
I know, but it sounds more awesome, doesn't it?
No, because I've watched America's Cup, and I've seen, you know, I've seen these guys jumping around and jurying their rigs and washing their or swabbing their decks.
Oh, come on, man.
And
nobody swabs a deck in a race, okay?
They raise the mizzen mast and they
stuff
like that. I mean, it takes a lot of work. You got two guys who got to.
But so, like, what would it be more fun to watch, like, individual persons, like, on their little, like, canoes with their outriders?
Well,
what? This is I've thought about building a canoe with an outrider and a sail.
I have a fun story. When I worked in Peoria, I had to cover an event that at the yacht club, because there was a yacht club.
Uh-huh. And I think there's one in Decatur, too.
They had to build boats out of cardboard, and they raced them. And it was
amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's
like three teams sank. It was so fun.
Oh, I want to do that.
And they had a kids' version in the pool, too. It was great.
Okay, were they going off a cliff and, like, trying to fly, or was it they just were going to the water?
They put the boat in the water, paddled, sank.
Because there's that... Yeah, well, there's that other thing, and I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's, you know, a similar thing. You get guys who try and build an airplane type thing, and then they get shoved off of it.
Yeah, like the Red Bull thing. Oh, yeah.
This was much more silly. Like, there was like costumes, wigs.
Oh my gosh, painting. I want to do that.
Those guys are plenty silly themselves.
Oh, I want to build a boat that sails, and then I want to build one that doesn't, right? Like, that like you're constantly having to, like, shovel water out of the bilge, and you're like, oh, crap, this is what I'm doing now. And then, like, build a robot that's whose sole purpose is to shovel water out of the bilge and be like, that's your purpose in life.
That took a turn I wasn't expecting.
That's quite a plan.
I have ideas in this brain.
It would take longer to execute it than it did to think of it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Other things happening this month. Well, that's in June. So what's happening closer than June, on my calendar at least, it says Galentine's Day / Mardi Gras, Pancake Day, Punchki Day, exciting things. And for the Catholics, whoa, Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day.
Tim's looking around the room like,
do you suppose that's how they react? Whoa!
I feel like it happens often that Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day. I remember.
Well, it would probably happen like once every six or seven years. Yeah,
logically, mathematically. yeah, that's also the day I'm giving blood at the Arc Center. Back
also, we have a leap day coming up.
I said Arc Center. This is the C Center.
Hey, what time are you giving blood that day?
11:30. To all the fans.
I'll come up and go with you.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah, I have a horrible thing that morning, so I'm going to want to get out of town.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, it's.
It's not for the podcast.
Well, no. I'm not even sure I'm comfortable telling you guys or writing it down,
acknowledging that it exists.
Yeah, no, it's.
In other exciting news, besides the leap day, the live action version of Avatar: The Last Airbender premieres on February 22nd. I'm so excited.
I'm torn. I'm torn because so I loved the animated series so much, and it's so poignant
good.
And perfect
it's
in
beautiful.
So many ways as a buildings Ramon, as like a coming of age story. Yeah, no, it's good, but I don't know.
So you're talking about an animated one. You're not talking about
the live action premieres on February 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Not to be confused with the atrocity that M. Night Shyamalan.
We don't talk
created.
About that. That doesn't exist. The animated series was like early 2000s.
Okay.
Nickelodeon.
Okay. Why did I hear Avatar when you were saying Last Airbender. I do not.
No, that's what it's
called. The whole title is Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's, yes,
that is
okay.
why you heard it.
And the,
okay,
the
yes.
character is
nothing to do with Na'vi?
No.
Okay.
Where the Avatar in that is like he's, you know, living in a, you know, like a bio-created body, whereas...
What a weird way to explain Aang.
No, I'm talking about the movies. The Na'vi movies.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were trying to explain it.
No, Aang, so the Avatar in The Last Airbender is supposed to be the like culmination, the figurehead of all of the elements together,
mm-hmm.
Bringing balance and peace
yeah.
And adjudicating.
Right. I saw the terrible movie about 20 years ago.
Oh, don't watch that ever again.
No.
Oh, I don't. I have no intention.
But
thanks for the
live action is going to be better.
Okay.
It's going to be cast with actual people of color. It's going to be great.
All right. I believe you. Thousands of
I'm really hopeful.
That's why I'm staying away from it. Anyway, so you can... She just knocked on the table. You can follow all of the Happy Haps and what's going on in Central Illinois.
All the what?
Happy Haps.
I don't think
what's happening.
I don't think the Netflix premiere will be covered in our
Except
paper, but everything
it might
else.
Be. It sure. might be. We run some of that stuff sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we have an
be.
Entertainment section.
All of our Illinois yeah. papers, QCTimes.com, JG-TC.com, Herald-Review.com, and Pantograph.com.
All right, I think it's going to do it for us today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you'll come back next week for more Long Story Short.
If you're enjoying this podcast, nonsense included, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
Find all of our reporting at all those websites Jack just named, and subscribe to keep supporting local journalism.
Or you can download the app.
We have an app?
Oh,
yes.
Thank you. Just perfectly timed. We Everybody who sat in.
They failed every time.
Find the app for all of our newsrooms in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and we will see you next time.